Rolene Marks, are you with us?
I'm with you. I was just saying that yesterday you were talking about one of my favorite subjects, which is shoes. And today you're talking about one of my favorite subjects, which is Alexander's, because my dad is Alexander the Great.
You see. You see.
Amazing, amazing.
Stan Clapp wants to know the great what? Oh, come on, Stan Clapp. He's a very funny.
The greatest dad in the world.
Yeah, Alexander the Great. He says it's an incomplete sentence. All right, Rolene, what's happening in Israel?
Well, as we speak, President Abbas is getting ready to address the United Nations. You know, yesterday we spoke about the fact that the Palestinians had put forward a resolution to the UN Security Council that would condemn the Trump peace plan, but also condemn the clause within the plan that deals with the proposed settlement annexation. Now, it must be noted that the Trump peace plan, according to President Trump, is it's conceptual. It's his thoughts. It's his concepts. And the administration have made it clear that, you know, they are open to feedback, to counter offers, but instead of counter offering or sitting down, the Palestinians have chosen the route of not accepting the plan at all. So last night, in fact, about an hour after we came off air, it was there, the news then broke that the Palestinians had dropped their bid for the resolution. And one of the reasons for this is that there wasn't enough support to push the resolution through, and it has had quite a knock-on effect. Squabbling within the Palestinian camp, some saying that it hasn't been cancelled, it's just merely been postponed. Others saying that the Palestinians didn't want to be humiliated at the United Nations Security Council because they didn't have the support. And what is very interesting is that the two countries that co-sponsored the resolution. This is Tunisia and Indonesia. Tunisia's foreign ministry fired their ambassador to the United Nations, saying that what he did was beyond the authorization that he was given. Criticized it, yes, but introduced a resolution condemning it, absolutely not. So it's going to be very, very interesting to see what Abbas has to say at the UN. Chances are he's going to condemn the plan. Yesterday it came out that he had instructed lawyers to sue any country accepting the plan. And also we spoke yesterday about what happened with Olmert and this meeting. Abbas and Olmert are slated to meet later today. Whether or not it's the hyped-up press conference, we're not sure. That hasn't been made public, but they are meeting later today.
Rolene, that's a really interesting turn of events, because my gut is telling me that had this happened, say, 5-10 years ago, it would have been a very different result. Is there something happening at the UN that, I don't know, Israel is being given a fair hearing?
I don't think it's necessarily the UN, but I think you're right. 5 to 10 years ago, we would have heard something completely, completely different. This time, I think it's now that we're in a situation where we see the Arab world softening their stance, becoming more friendly in their overtures. In fact, one of the criticisms given to the Palestinians by the Arab leaders was that they needed to soften the language that was in the resolution. So I think that the little bit of sympathy, the support that the Palestinians are getting from the Arab world is largely starting to wane now, because they've proven time and time again they're not willing to be participants to negotiations. They're not willing to compromise. And where other countries are saying, you know what, there are bigger issues to deal with. We need to move forward. And yes, we think that you deserve a state and you deserve your right to independence and your aspirations and your nationalism and whatever you want to call it. You're not coming to the party. We've told you we're here to help you financially, but you know what? You've also got to come to the party.
Okay, that's a good explanation. Let's talk about this incredibly significant data breach. Who's responsible and what's been leaked?
Well, this is what we want to know. Well, apparently there's a glitch in the software. So Israel's Justice Ministry's Private Protection Authority, that's a big mouthful to say, said yesterday that it was going to be investigating alleged massive exposure by the Likud party of private information from Israel's entire voter registry. This is one of the largest leaks of personal information in Israel's history, and apparently information like names, Teudat Zehut, which is the identity of people, all of this is, if you are able to kind of get into the app, all of this has been made public. It's card numbers, addresses, phone numbers, other details have all been exposed. And the app, which is used for campaign management by the Likud party, is really there to try and do some data mining or data management, and especially in the run-up to the elections in a few weeks' time. But apparently this glitch in the software has allowed anybody with the ability to log on to gain access to the database of millions of Israeli voters.
And if this had been a corporation, Rolene, I mean, the fines would be in the gazillions. They're going to get away with this.
I don't think they're going to get away with this. I think that there's going to be very, very heavy penalties to pay whoever it is that's responsible, whether it's development from the company, whether it's a fault on the Likud party, whatever the findings of the investigation, whoever's responsible is going to, you can be sure that there will be some severe penalties.
Okay. And apparently a Hamas leader has missed out on negotiations with Egypt. What was the reason for that, Rolene?
Well, Salman, he's kind of scared he's going to be assassinated. So this is not just any Hamas leader. This is Yahya Sinwar. He's the leader of Hamas. He was not present at talks today. This is the effort made by Cairo to try and get Hamas to stop with the incendiary balloons, which they have agreed to today. They will stop sending over the balloons. This is only after one landed very close to a kindergarten in the south this morning, and the kindergarten had to be evacuated. Police were on the scene. It doesn't pertain, as so far as we know, to rockets and mortars being fired, and the Egyptians conveyed a message from Israel's Prime Minister Netanyahu, who said that we will deal a harsh blow if this continues, and Hamas threatened by saying that we don't want an escalation, but if you deal us a harsh blow, you will get full-scale war. But as our Defense Minister Naftali Bennett and the Prime Minister have said in the last couple of weeks, that when it comes to this targeted assassination, all options are on the table. So Sinwar has fled with the fear that he may be
taken
assassinated.
Rolene, we're out of time, but I do very quickly want to go to our SMS line, because Achamor, who generally engages with you, has said data breaches and leaks have happened before in Israel. Think back to the Agron of 2008. I'm not sure I know what that is, where the entire country's census and database was exposed, and the Israelis managed to contain it by releasing a crippled version that overwrote the legitimate version. So maybe some clever Israeli programmer can do something by overwriting the data that's there. I don't know. Out of my pay grade, that one. But really,
well, I have to.
Yeah?
I have to say, it won't be me, Hamor, because I'm like a little bit dodgy with the computer and the development. But, wow, I applaud his knowledge. And I always love to hear from Hamor.